The host has arrived. This is Chair Fields. Is the department on?
Morning, Chair Fields. Member Griffin, I just make sure everybody can hear me okay.
I can hear you. Thanks.
Good morning. This is Lori.
Morning. And I just got a... Okay. And I just got a message from the department that they're ready. So we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 9 a.m. And if we can get roll call, please.
Sure. Lieutenant Colonel Hamill is excused. Member Maynard.
Here.
Member Griffin.
Here.
First Vice Chair Hamilton.
Here.
Member Kowalski.
Here.
Member Scott.
Here.
Member Stockhausen. Second Vice Chair Vandy.
Here.
And Chair Fields.
Here. Looks like we have a quorum. Thanks, everybody, for being here on time. So if wherever you're at, if you can stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion for adoption of the agenda?
I'll make that motion. Member Griffin.
Okay.
Member Van Deest, second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, roll call, please.
Member Maynard.
Yes.
Member Griffin.
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hamilton.
Yes.
Member Kowalski.
Yes.
Member Scott.
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Vandy.
Yes.
And Chair Hill.
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes.
Mr. Chair, the agenda has been approved.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next is any disclosures of potential conflicts of interest on any agenda items on this agenda. Are there any? Okay, I'm hearing none, so great. And then do we have anybody on for public comment?
Chair Fieldsby is checking with Ledge.
Okay.
Chair Fields, first up is Mr. Tim Parker.
Okay, great. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, welcome, Chair Fields. Thank you for having me. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Excellent. Good. Appreciate you guys meeting today on Martin Luther King Day. Not a holiday in Alaska, but a federal holiday. And so for some, it's the day off. I want to thank the department and the commissioner for coming and speaking with some of our members this last week in one of our meetings. I want to let you know the commissioner was well received. His comments were well received, and educators that were in the room, hundreds of educators, were very pleased to hear his thoughts on how things are going. Of course, he talked about our favorite topic, Alaska's Education Challenge, something that all of you in the room have worked on, and some of us for many, many years have worked on. A couple pieces of legislation, of course, are moving this year. The Alaska Reads Act is about to be introduced and is of high interest, I would say, to educators in the state. We're keeping a very close eye on it. There are a couple pieces inside of it that we're very interested in. One would, of course, be retention. We don't believe that retention is a strong piece of any plan on how to improve anyone's reading or any other skills. We've read all the studies on it. I hope that you're familiar with those also. Holding students back is not a great plan. It tends to do more harm than good in the long run, according to most studies in most cases. Of course, in the idea of reading and reading by third grade, it's a lot of whether or not we should hold students back at third grade, looking towards fourth grade. So we're not in favor of that. In most cases, what we are in favor of course, when we're thinking about things that will improve students' learning is, high-quality pre-K programs, and I think those might be part of the bill, smaller class sizes, parent supports, additional resources for reading. Those are all things that we are very much in support. I'm sure all of you are, too. The other bill that appears to have moved or been introduced already is the Tribal Compacting Bill, and we're also very interested in that. Followed that from its start in the Alaska's Education Challenge and where it's going, and we remain in support and concept of what's the discussions that are trying to go on around that, and especially listening to our rural and native educators and students around what might work for them in classrooms. And it's just an interesting discussion. It's something that we have to have as a state, and I applaud you and the department for continuing to have those discussions and consider what can happen in those areas. The other area that is in Alaska's Education Challenge, it actually does have bills in there, is the attracting and retaining educators piece, and we're excited about that. And there's legislation that could improve the retirement prospects of educators that's been introduced already this year. And I hope it will garner your support. Of course, it's the absence of Social Security that's the crux of the issue. More than half of our educators in the state are in that situation where they are very, very likely to outlive their retirement earnings. And without any Social Security, their risk of basically ending up with nothing is too high, and it is driving some to leave. So we know that we have an attracting and retaining problem. We know that the number of people going into education programs around the country and in Alaska is dropping by pretty steep margins, and it's creating a hiring problem just about everywhere, and we need to work on that too. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great meeting. I appreciate the chance to testify. I wish I was there in person. I know we'll have an in-person meeting coming up this spring. Looking forward to talking to all of you. And I do get to run into many of you around the state in your different locations. And, of course, I'll spend some time at the department when I'm down at Juneau. So appreciate the good work that you're doing and looking out for student learning and kids and what's best for them and their ability to get the best education they can. Thank you, Chair Fields.
Okay, thank you, Tim, for your comments. Any other public comment?
Next for public comment, Chair Fields, is Posey Box.
Okay, great. Welcome, Posey.
Thank you. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Hi. Good morning, Chair Fields and Commissioner Johnson and all the school board members. I appreciate being able to preview the Alaska Read Doc document. And on a very high level, I think it's very good. And in fact, there's some spectacularly good pieces, and I appreciate the hard work that everybody has done. I'm a nonpartisan citizen, and I'm very impressed that the commissioner and Governor Dunleavy and Senator Bagage, along with everyone else who worked on these bills, have produced some excellent work. And I am speaking as the founder of the Alaska Reading Coalition. There are areas in the bill, of course, that could use some improvement. And the first is tightening up some of the terminology and language, and I'll submit written testimony after the bills are introduced tomorrow. But in general, Alaska has a choice. One choice is to experience the delays that Florida and Mississippi and other states experienced when they make major reading changes. And some of the language in a bill that allows districts and schools and colleges of education wiggle room to continue doing what they've already been doing is one of the things that can delay the excellent reading instruction that our kids deserve. For example, Mississippi's process, they were 13 years into a 20-year effort to implement the essential components of reading instruction when they discovered that the districts had made little to no change in spite of being mandated to do so. And similarly, the colleges of education in Mississippi were told to change, and it was discovered that they had simply refused for years and years and years during this process. So one of my worries about the bill is that there's some language in there that allows this to continue to happen. And so our choice is to get rid of some of the wiggly language and decrease the opportunity of a delay. I think it's understandable that superintendents would be fearful about the magnitude of changes they may have to make. But I want to say that there is a huge difference between now versus the Superintendent Sampson in his testimony on the Moore case when he tried to change his reading instruction. His testimony indicated that it took all of the resources he had available to change what was going on in his district. There were good outcomes, but the district was depleted. And when I read this bill, it appears that the superintendents and the districts will have much more support in making these changes. So that's encouraging to me. So again, I'm very concerned about the language and tightening it up, but I'm also really encouraged because I was surprised by some other pieces in the bill that I think are very unique in all the reading bills that I have read. Just so you know, we're not real big fans of retention. And I certainly would delay the start of any retention implementation for quite a few years until districts have a chance to change the way they have been teaching reading. It's very, very difficult to change, make the changes. So I think giving time for districts to adjust is really important before having any sort of retention. Because I think what you'll find is you won't need it. If you do what's in the bill, the rest of the bill, you won't need retention. Let me see. I do have and can offer a two-hour presentation from the Department of Education in Mississippi that explains their experience through their 20-year effort. I encourage you to reach out to Mississippi, and they were very good at identifying their process and what they found out. But in general, I think the bill can really help all Alaskan children, and I'm thrilled about the preschool piece. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you, Posey, for your comments.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep, have a good day.
Thank you.
Next up?
Next up, Chair Field, is Lisa Perry.
Okay, great. Welcome, Lisa. Are you on?
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
There we go. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Good morning and happy new year. Thank you for your service. For the record, my name is Lisa Stiles Parody. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators, representing superintendents, elementary, secondary principals, school business officials, and all school administrators serving our students every day across Alaska. I just have brief comments, and as you know, our organizations have been very supportive of the Alaska Education Challenge, and I think we'll continue to be so. The majority of our organizations that we work with and educators have not had an opportunity to review the READ Act, so we'll be engaged in that process now. I haven't ever spoken to an educator who isn't supportive of helping all students read by third grade, and there are many excellent components to the bill. I want to thank Senator Begich for providing that to the superintendents so that they could start to review and digest the bill. And I think that going forward, the members individually and collectively will be providing oral written testimony. But just a couple of concerns I've heard early is that there is some concern that the Department of Education Early Development may not have the capacity at this point to do what's outlined in this form of the bill. So I think our hope is that they be that be addressed, that the department have the support needed to do what is called for in whatever form is passed. And so in that way, I think our members are very supportive to the department taking the lead on many of these things, but just want to make sure that they have everything they need to do the job in the best way supporting students. I'll echo the two previous speakers with Posey and Tim with the many, many concerns I've had about the idea of retention as a strategy. And don't need to belabor that as they stated those concerns well. But in general, I think our members are thankful for the initiative and grateful for the focus on reading, as we all recognize how critically important that is to the success of all of our students. Very positive pieces around the 0 to 5 support to students, and just a lot of really good components. So we stand ready to work forward to shape the bill to be the best that it can be in support of all Alaska students. And I think otherwise, I think Tim Parker talked a little bit about tribal compacting. Your staff, Joel Isaac, met with our tribal compacting committee for the Alaska Superintendents Association recently and did a really nice job of sharing some of the thinking behind the work that the department has been doing. And, of course, we have a lot of interest in how that piece of legislation that's been introduced proceeds, and we'll want to be actively involved in that as it goes forward as well. So just appreciate your service, and as always, we stand ready to assist, and thank you for your time today.
Great. Thank you, Lisa. Next up.
Chair Fields, Ms. Parody was the last public comment.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll go into our work session. Item 1, Department FY 2021 Operating Budget. Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair Fields. The board will be providing an update on the department's FY 2021 operating budget, and I'm going to turn it over to Neil, our Administrative Services Director.
Hello, Chair Fields. This is Neil Steinger, Administrative Services Director for the Department of Education and Early Development. On December 11th, the governor released the FY 2021 governor's budget, including the budget for the Department of Education. If you move forward in the packet, there is a page with a chart and a handful of pie graphs. This gives a high-level overview of the department's budget as a whole. The department budget is about $1.7 billion. Of that, about $1.4 billion comes from state funds and the rest from federal and other sources. The department has about 269 employees. And these graphs provide a breakout of how those funds are allocated within the department and where they go and where they come from. And you can see that primarily expenditures in the department are grants out to educational organizations and school districts. One interesting little fact about this is that for every dollar we spend in operational costs, about $18.50 is going out to other entities in the state that provide educational services to children around the state. When you look at that compared to our amount of staff we have in the department, on average, every staff member is putting out about $6 million out to education organizations in the state. So it's a very small staff, small operational cost that has a large impact out into the state, which you can see through these budget numbers here. Moving to the next slide, or the next page in the packet, this is a breakdown of our various programs and budgetary components by how they're funded and by the fund source in here. And if there's any questions from the board as I'm going along, please feel free to chime in and ask. So this breaks it out by the various categories of funds to each of our programs. On the next slide, we have another breakdown, and this is just showing the state funds, the state general funds, both designated and unrestricted by program. There's a couple of things to highlight here on this slide that are kind of notable larger changes. You can see an increase to the formula programs, and we'll have a little bit more detail on that on a later page. Down below, you'll see there's listed a $5 million reduction in the pre-kindergarten grant. This is actually just reflecting a two-year pre-K program that is no longer part of the budget. It was a two-year program that went from fiscal year 19 through fiscal year 20. So the current year we're in right now is last year of that program. So this is not a true reduction to the actual pre-K program, just reflecting a technical change. A couple rows below that, you will see a $4.6 million increase to the Mount Edgecombe Boarding School. This is reflecting a technical change to the way the Mount Edgecombe Boarding School is funded. It's not actually a $4.6 million increase to their budget. It's a $4.6 million increase to the state general fund funding their budget. In prior years, they were funded by the Public School Trust Fund, which is categorized elsewhere. Those are the two main items to note on this page. Moving to the next page, gives you the same view, but including all funding sources, including federal and other types of funds that don't come directly from the state general fund. On here, you can see that the total change in the Department of Education Early Development budget from fiscal year 20 to fiscal year 21 is a $4 million increase. That includes the increases to the formula programs and net reductions to the agency program operation. So the things to point out here, the notable changes, you'll see a roughly $11 million decrease listed under student and school achievement. One thing to note about that is that's not actually a reduction to any of the activities within that component. It's another technical change to reflect how the department receives federal funds within that program, and to attempt to better represent the amount of federal funds anticipated to be received. We're actually anticipating receiving more federal funds this year than in the prior year. However, for technical reasons and the interaction with the state's accounting system, the budget historically has overrepresented the amount of federal funds that we've received. So reducing the amount is actually a better reflection of the increased amount. And I can go into more detail on that if anybody is interested. Down below, again, you'll see the same reflection of that pre-kindergarten two-year grant program that's no longer reflected in the budget. That's that $5 million reduction. So then the next page gives a breakdown of all the changes within the FY 2021 budget. So just going through this, you can see the first section is the changes in the foundation program. And these are technical changes. The important thing to note is that the foundation program is fully funded at a BSA of $5,930. The residential schools program has an increase of $900,000, and this is adding two new residential programs into the residential schools program. That would be the Lower Yukon School District and the North Slope Borough School District. The school debt program is funded at 50% of the statutory level. You can see the roughly $4 million of federal authority being added in for the Comprehensive Literacy State Development federal grant the department recently received. That is in the budget for FY21 through FY25. This negative $14.7 million is the federal authority receipt collection technical change that I discussed earlier. You can see a reduction of $475,000 for the Parents as Teachers program. One thing to note is that's not actually eliminating the program. We're simply shifting that program over to the Department of Health and Social Services, who has been managing the program for the last several years, and this just aligns the budget with where the program operations are actually occurring. You can see the $4.6 million change. This chart does a better job of representing that within Mount Edgecombe High School. You can see that simply a change in the fund source and a $0 impact. We also have a $657 addition in Mount Edgecombe for program receipts to operate the Mount Edgecombe Aquatic Center. Under online with libraries, there's a reduction of $230,000. This is to discontinue a video conferencing system that, upon looking at it, we found was underutilized by users in the state. And then there's also some changes within the Alaska Commission on Postsecondary Education. They plan to outsource servicing of a portion of their loan portfolio. Moving to the next page.
I'll just ask if board members have any questions on those previous sheets, just because you went over a lot of stuff, and give them a chance possibly to chime in if they do.
And Member Griffin here, did a quick question, if you could address the debt reimbursement lines there a little bit. I'd appreciate that.
Yes, Member Griffin. We actually, in a couple of pages, have a slide that details by district the impact of the 100% and then the 50% proposed funding level would reimburse each district for their current school debt payment. So the 50% level
okay,
is the situation of the funding level in FY20.
Yeah, perfect. I'll patiently wait for that then. Thank you.
Thank you.
The line, the State Board of Education in-person meetings and support, is that to get us back to four in-persons, or what's the intent?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I skipped over that item. That the intent there is to increase the number of in-person meetings and to also add staff support to help coordinate that increased number of in-person meetings.
Okay, so I'm assuming we'll try to get back to four. Is that the plan?
Chair Fields, this is Michael. With conversations with OMB and the governor last fall, the idea was that because of your monthly call-ins, basically the board would have a monthly meeting instead of quarterly, and six of those hopefully would be able to be in person, with possibly one being at least somewhere other than, you know, one of the main hubs. So that's the hope and the goal with the funding that's included in the governor's budget. And the meeting, rather than be two full-day meetings. The meetings would be shorter but more frequent, so the board could focus on particular issues and digest all the information rather than it being like a fire hose in a two-day meeting.
Right. Great. Thank you. Any other questions from board members so far? Okay. Thank you. Neil, go ahead and proceed.
Thank you. The next page is a representation of how the money in each of these programs is spent, whether it's spent on personal services or travel and then grant out. So this just gives you kind of that breakout to see where the money is going in each of these programs. Moving to the next page, this is a summary of the in comparison of FY20's foundation spending to FY21 projections. You can see an increase in the total funding for the foundation program and the changes in the ADM.
I'm sorry, this is Member Kowalski. Could you please read the title of the page you're on? I got a little off track there while you were asking questions.
Okay. The title of the page is Department of Education and Redevelopment Public School Funding Program, FY2020 Authorized versus FY2021 Projection.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And any questions before I move to the next page? On the next page, you can see the various programs going out to district support programs and grants out of the department broken out by school district. Moving to the following page, this is the breakdown of the school debt program. So in this you can see by school district what the total estimated debt for those districts would be for FY2021 and then what the proposed level is. Those are the last two columns to the right on this page. So you can see that the program has been proposed to be funded at the 50% level to the continuation of the funding from FY20. Moving to the next page, this page shows you the various grant programs within the student school achievement component at the top. You can see which grants and how much they are and where the funding sources are coming from to pay for these grants. Down towards the bottom is a breakdown. You have the early learning, state system of support, and teacher certification grants, as well as a breakout of the various components within the Division of Innovation and Education Excellence and where the funding for those programs. Moving to the final page, this is our pencil chart showing the base student allocation. You can see that it's being proposed at $5,930, which is flat over the last several years. And that's the conclusion of the slides I have. Are there any questions? Thank you.
I'll just make a quick comment on the presentation we just heard on the governor's proposed budget, that we should look forward to following the legislative session to learn what the legislature accepts or proposes for the state's budget, including education, as we did last year. I want to let you know that I plan to continue conversations with legislators, including chairs of the education committee, to develop a mutual understanding of the most appropriate and helpful role the State Board of Education can have in the budget process each year. So just letting the board members know that, you know, I remember last year we're trying to come up with something that we can have sustained year to year so we don't have issues with, you know, what the board's role is. So just want to let you guys know. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, thank you for your presentation, Neil, and we'll move on to item 2, legislative update. Commissioner?
Yeah, so as I move into this item, Chair Fields, I'll just say, one is how much I've appreciated Neil through the budget process and all the folks that need that work in the finance shop, Heidi and all her crew. It's been a positive process, lots of great conversations in the office, and so I just really appreciate, wanted the board to know how much I appreciate all of that, and in advance, appreciate Neil sitting with me in front of committees and taking questions, so thank you. And then as we move into the legislative update, I just want to take this opportunity also to introduce the item and say an appreciation to Aaron, so I'll do that after you get a motion. This is discussion regarding proposed legislation for the second session of the 31st Alaska State Legislature that would impact the department and the board. Oh, this is not a – okay, I was waiting for a motion. Sorry. Thank you, Aaron. So, Chair Fields, I just want to say, as you know, this is Aaron's first year as legislative liaison, but not her first year being my right arm. And she has – I think everybody at the department would agree that she has done an amazing job getting us ready for session. And I really look forward to working with legislators. Aaron's just amazing ability to follow up, even on the smallest details, I think will serve the legislature well. It'll certainly serve the board well and the department well. So I just want to let the board know that what good hands you're going to be in during this legislative session. So I'll turn it over to Erin, let her walk through some of the things that we know as of now.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, board members. This is Erin Hardin, legislative liaison for the department. I just wanted to take a few minutes to update you on what we know so far for this next legislative session. So as it notes on your cover memo, this is an opportunity to let you know about any pre-filed legislation that pertains to education. And I also just wanted to run through a couple helpful resources for you and share some known items to date. So I'll start with the pre-filed legislation. So the legislators have two opportunities, to pre-file legislation ahead of the first day of session, which is tomorrow, January 21st. This is a great opportunity for departments to get kind of a preview of legislation that we will have an opportunity to weigh in on and provide an analysis and fiscal information. So behind your cover memo, Linda provided an additional page into the packet that was sent to you as of Friday, the 17th, after the second pre-file date had passed. So in short, there were, I believe, about 45 bills that were pre-filed ahead of this second session. About half a dozen of those impact our department directly. So you'll see a one-pager there with the title, Summary of Pre-Filed Education-Related Legislation. I've hyperlinked all of the bills so that you can go and click on those and read them directly if you're interested. But just a quick run through. So Representative Klayman has introduced a mental health education bill that we'll be following. Representative Vance has introduced a school district consolidation bill. This appears to be a companion to Senator Showers, SB 126, so we will follow that legislation as well. Representative Fields has introduced a piece of legislation increasing the maximum award level for an Alaska Performance Scholarship. We'll be following that one as well. Senator Stevens has introduced and was noted in public testimony this morning, SB 136, the State Tribal Education Compact. We will be following this piece of legislation in particular very closely. I imagine as chair of the Senate Education Committee that this bill will be heard sooner rather than later. So this is one that the department has paid extra attention to and is already diving into analysis, excuse me, to make sure that we are fully prepared to support the committee and that discussion. And then lastly, during the second pre-file on Friday, Senator Begich has introduced SB 142. Which covers microwave radiation exposure in schools. So that is one that we are looking at as well. Are there any questions about any of the pre-filed bills before I continue?
This is Member Van Deest. And I do have a question. How much impact has the department, or maybe impact is the wrong word to use, but I'm just thinking about the Tribal Education Compact bill. How much input has the department had with that bill?
Member Van Deese, this is Commissioner Johnson. So that bill was, I'm looking to Aaron, make sure I get all my facts right, but that bill's introduced by Senator Stevens. I've had conversations with him, but the department didn't help draft that bill or anything of that sort. I think what Senator Stevens told me is that bill was basically a bill that he modeled after a bill in Washington State, but that was introduced separate from the department, but we certainly look forward to working with Senator Stevens and the committee on their work around those issues.
Thank you. I actually read the bill a couple days ago, and I'm wondering if the wording tribal compacting is just inserted where charter schools and all the other different types of schools are inserted. So I was just curious to know the input the department had on that.
This is Member Kowalski. I have a related question, comment.
Okay, go ahead.
It did appear to me when I read Senator Stevens' bill that it was wording that would create maybe like a parallel district without any explicit reference to tribal organizations really having ownership and are empowered to create a school that is of and for their people. So that was a little bit of a concern for me in that bill. And I am too interested in seeing how the department and our stakeholders engage in this process going forward.
Thank you, Member Kowalski, for that comment. As I noted before, I anticipate that as the Chair of Senate Education, that bill will be brought up for hearing relatively quickly when session gets going. So like all of you, that will be a great opportunity for the department to listen in and learn more about the history of the drafting of that bill, sponsor statements. It'll be an opportunity for the department to provide initial fiscal notes and be a part of that discussion. So we look forward to that opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to say Aaron. This is Member Van Deese. I just want to say thank you to Sandy for actually wording the question that I had. I didn't really know how to put that into words, but my read on the bill is I have a few concerns along with Sandy's concerns.
Thank you, Member Van.
And this member, Member Griffin, if I make a quick comment, just to follow up with Sandy reading the bill. I'm a big fan of Senator Stevens and everything he's done for the kids of Alaska and the arena of education. I'm thankful that he's opened up this conversation. And I do have some concerns, though, that maybe the vision of tribal compacting that we've been working on in our subcommittee has some differences from Senate Bill 136 kind of lays out. And I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Senator Stevens and the committee and other stakeholders on aligning our visions a little bit more there.
Thank you, Member Griffin. The other part of my legislative update that I wanted to share is just a resource page that I slipped into the board packet for you. Just some quick reminders on how to follow along during legislative session. Of course, you're always welcome to reach out to me, but if I am not, at my desk and you happen to call, I wanted to provide you with sort of a short list of helpful resources. For example, for SB 136 in particular, if you're really interested in making sure that you're tracking that bill closely, the legislature offers a bill tracking system that you can sign up for. So anytime a bill moves, you get an email alert. They have a number of very helpful tools, so I would encourage you
to sign up for those as you're interested. Along with that, I'll just also let you know that the department subscribes to a resource called the Alaska Education Update. It's put on by Shanna Crondall. Members of the department's leadership and all of you as state board members have been subscribed to that service. So if you see emails in your inbox titled the Alaska Education Update, that is a resource we subscribe to. Shana does a pretty comprehensive summary of legislative hearings and meeting minutes. If you're not interested in receiving those emails in your inbox, please let me know and I'm happy to unsubscribe you. I just wanted to make you aware of that additional resource that will appear in your inbox. Our staff do our best to be at every available hearing and to take notes, but it's nice to have a third party listening in. She focuses exclusively on education hearings. A few other reminders. So I mentioned that legislative session starts tomorrow. Both bodies will convene at 1 o'clock. At that time, bills will be officially transmitted. That includes the Alaska Reads Act that has been mentioned several times here this morning. With that, I wanted to run through with you our hearing schedule to date, just so that you can make some notes on your calendars. Typically, the Thursday prior to the following week, the department has a pretty good idea of what our legislative hearing calendar is. So I wanted to let you know this week what's happening so that you can tune in to the department's activities on the Hill. To start with, this coming Wednesday, the 22nd, at 8 a.m., we will be in the House Education Finance Subcommittee. Neil Steininger, our Administrative Services Director and the Commissioner, will be providing a first introduction of the department's FY 2021 budget. That will just be a high-level overview. You can listen to the testimony online through the live streaming process at akl.tv. The next day, Thursday, the 23rd, at 3:30 p.m., the department will be in the Senate Education Committee. At this time, the committee will hear the sponsor substitute for SB 6 and the Alaska Reads Act. As you know, those are complementary bills. This will be an opportunity for the commissioner and Senator Begich to formally introduce those bills to the committee for a first hearing. At that time, there will be more information available about those bills, including initial fiscal notes and a sectional analysis. So just wanted to have that on your radar. Of course, all these hearings are recorded as well, so if you're not able to attend, you'll be able to follow up at a later time. And lastly, on January 24th at 8 a.m., this next Friday, we are back in House Education Finance Subcommittee, and we'll be diving into the department's FY 2021 budget specific to our Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. So again, Neil and Patience Fredrickson, our library director, will be there at the committee to kind of start a deep dive into the division's budget specifically. The last reminders here I have in my notes are we're still waiting on the final makeup of several of our committees. So tomorrow, once the legislature convenes and the committee on committees meets, we will find out who some of our seat holders are on several of our committees. You'll notice, I think almost all of our committees, we have one or two slots that are vacant. So we're eager to see who will have the opportunity to work with on each of our education, finance, and subcommittee finance committees. And I believe that's all I have at this time. Again, I'm available to answer any questions. And, of course, you all know how to get a hold of me as legislative session gets going. I hope this was a helpful update for all of you.
Great. Thank you, Erin. Any other comments or questions?
This is Member Van Deest. Erin, what time was the Thursday meeting on the 23rd for the Senate Education on the Reads Act?
Yes, that will be heard at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And on the legislative website, akleg.gov, you can click on the meeting schedule tab and adjust the date. So you can look at the whole week if you'd like. Sometimes that's a little overwhelming, so you can just click day by day and see any education topics. So at this point, this is our hearing schedule as we know for the first week.
Hey, thank you. Oh, Member Scott, go ahead.
Thanks. Aaron, I really appreciate you giving us a heads up on upcoming hearings, and I wanted to thank you for that, because I think it's very helpful that we, A, are aware, and B, can engage through listening in and creating, you know, kind of a more in-depth and involved discussion. Thanks.
Of course, Member Scott, and I will ask the Commissioner and Board Chair, but as I mentioned, by every Thursday evening, we pretty much know our hearing schedule for the following week, and we put together sort of an internal department schedule for ourselves. And so if the Board is interested and Commissioner and the Chair want to chat about that, I'm happy to share that with Board members as well, so you know internally what our schedule is for the following week. That's a helpful resource for you.
Thank you.
Member
Hamilton. Oh, sorry.
I will defer to the lady from Ketchikan.
This is Member Stockhausen, and Aaron, that was exactly what I was going to ask, if it would be too much of a pain for you to send that to us as well.
I'm happy to do that. It's not an extra burden by any means. So.
Thank you so much.
And Member Hamilton, Aaron, I know that in the past we've tried to get together with the education committees up on the Hill there. Is there any movement toward that for our March meeting?
Yes, thank you for that reminder. We have had initial discussions with the chairs of committees for a joint education committee. As you know, the board report is due within the first 30 days. So at this time, we have tentatively requested, and it sounds like Senator Stevens has certainly been willing to hold the joint hearing actually on February 17th. That date would be for Chair Fields to present the board report in person. And then once, now that all the staff are here and things are getting going, we'll have an opportunity to request possibilities of meetings and a potential joint hearing when all of you are here in March.
Hearing any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you, Aaron. Going into our business meeting portion, item 3, approve the board's annual report to the legislature. And I think we've been able to review that for a couple months now, so really probably isn't much to go over other than what's there. So if we can have a motion.
Member Hamilton, I move the State Board of Education Early Development approve the report to the legislature.
Member Scott, second.
And Member Griffin, I'll second it.
Moved by Member Hamilton, seconded by Member Scott. She got there first, Bob. any discussion?
This is Member Scott.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Aaron, for including the explanation of the 4 committees that we have. I think that was an excellent addition to the packet, and because the depth at which we are working amongst one another. The only thing is, I don't know that you necessarily need to add this to the packet, and I don't know why I missed this before, but just regarding the board directed deed staff to work with the governor's office and Department of Law and Natural Resources to, you know, for the Sitka seaplane dock. I just want to make sure that since, you know, I'm on the MEHS advisory board, we spent multiple hours discussing this, and that I just want to make it clear that this was at the advisement, under the advisement of the advisory board. So that doesn't look like we are unilaterally making this decision to, you know, move on with the investigation. That there was a lot of talk, and then the advisory board advised the state board on how to proceed.
And this is Chair Fields. I would say we could add that in there, Aaron. It's a pretty minor adjustment, so I don't think it's necessary to amend the motion. That's a good catch, Tiffany. Thanks.
Chair Fields, Luann's here, and of course Aaron, so they're making note of that, and they can adjust that language. And I agree. I think that's a important distinction that we put in the report for the legislature to see. So thank you, Member Scott.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Member Maynard.
Yes.
Member Griffin.
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hamilton.
Yes.
Member Kowalski.
Yes.
Member Scott.
Yes.
Member Stockhausen.
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Van Dee.
Yes.
Chair Field.
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes.
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Item 4, approved project coordinator. Commissioner?
The board is being asked to approve Commissioner Johnson's appointment of Bernie Sorensen as project coordinator.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
This is Member Van Deest. I move the State Board of Education and Early Development approve the commissioner's appointment of Bernie Sorensen as project coordinator.
This is Member Kowalski. I second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Chair Fields, I'll just say a little bit about Bernie for the board, for those that may not know her, though I think most of the board knows her. So Bernie has worked with the department for since I've been here at the department. She is worked in our state for a long time, principal, assistant superintendent. She's been a contractor. And over the last 3 years, she's really done a lot to help the department through all the changes in structure and organizational clarity from all the changes that have happened through cuts and folks leaving the department. We are just super excited to have Bernie here because she comes with a lot of training and experience and skill in establishing good workflows and organizational clarity. And as we embark on actually translating the priorities of the Alaska Education Challenge into policies, having Bernie here to help us actually implement those effectively as a department and work with our school districts is really exciting and invaluable. This position's been open for a while as we've shifted folks around. But Bernie, when the opportunity arose to have Bernie fill the position, we were able to even kind of think bigger and broader about how this position is really going to be an integral part in implementing the board's strategic plan, which is the Alaska Education Challenge. So I look forward to you getting to meet her in person. If you don't know Bernie, I think most of you will recognize her face when you see her. And then also providing the board with some updates on the work she's doing and how it's impacting the department, but also helping us to better serve school districts and students. So with that, I want to say thank you to Bernie for being willing to come to the department. She moved back up to Juneau with her husband, and so we're all thrilled and hope the board will support this recommendation.
Great. Thank you for those comments, Commissioner. Any other discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call, please.
Member Maynard.
Yes.
Member Griffin.
Yes.
First Vice Chair Hamilton.
Yes.
Member Kowalski.
Yes.
Member Scott.
Yes.
Member Stockhausen.
Yes.
Second Vice Chair Van Dee.
Yes.
Chair Field.
Yes. Does anyone wish to change his or her vote at this time? Hearing no changes.
Mr. Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Before board comments, since there's not a specific line item for the commissioner's report, I wanted to just give the commission the opportunity to make comments or updates on things. Go ahead, Commissioner.
All right, thank you. So thanks, everybody. Thank you for being here on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. One of my favorite quotes about education, but one of my favorite quotes that he said was that intelligence plus character, this is the goal of education. And I think that is a very succinct and clear statement of purpose for all of us that are working in education. It's not just about test results. It certainly includes that, and we certainly want to develop the intelligence of our young people, but it's also about character, and that's the goal of education, that they grow up to be contributing citizens that make the world a better place for everyone. So just recognition of him and the contribution he made to our country and to our public education system because of the work that he did. I want to just say a couple words of thanks for the Alaska Reads Act. As you know, fundamentally, the Alaska Reads Act represents the implementation of the Alaska Education Challenge. And so the board worked on the challenge for a couple of years to establish those priorities, and I'm just thrilled to see that that first priority is being translated into policy, which is what we want for every one of those priorities. The board did not lightly approve those five priorities, and all the folks that contributed to that agreed that those are priorities that we should implement in our state. And so I just thank everybody that's been involved in that. Of course, Senator Begich and the governor have been working together to address it. But I want the board to know and the public that those two just represented a lot of other people. For example, the bill includes and really is built upon work that happened in the education committees over the past few years, including the work that Senator Shelley Hughes has done, the work that Representative Gabrielle Ledoux has done, Representative and Chair Harriet Drummond with the Reading Task Force, and lots of testimony from superintendents and principals and teachers over the years shaping the ideas around pre-K and around good reading instruction and policy and school improvement. So really, now I am so happy that the bill is being introduced so that now it becomes part of the legislative process. And I, for one, have a lot of confidence in the process that they will work with the bills that are introduced, make them even better, and then pass a policy that will be good for Alaska's kids. So thanks to the board for establishing that as a priority and for everyone that's contributed to what will be before the legislature and for all the comment that happened today and that will happen in the next few weeks over that bill. As you heard, Aaron gave you a great overview of session. Legislators have been arriving over the last several days. Tomorrow is the official start of session, and it will be a busy first few weeks as they get geared up and ready to go. I'm hopeful that this is going to be a positive session. The big questions still remain before the legislature that have been there for the last 5 years at least. But I'm hopeful that this year will be an opportunity for folks to work together and answer some of the big questions and problems that are before us. And as the gentleman from Soldotna noted, the board will be meeting here in Juneau in March, and we'll be making sure that we request a joint hearing in the legislature and that also we set up meetings for you to visit with as many legislators as possible at that time. So that's all I have. Thank you all for being on today, and I look forward to our next meeting.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Any comments or questions based on the Commissioner's comments or board members? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to board comments, and I'll just go down the roll call list. Member Maynard?
I have no further comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Member Griffin?
Yes, I do have a few comments, and I'm very excited, can hardly contain my excitement, actually, the Alaska Education Challenge moving forward with the Alaska Reads Act, and Thanks to the commissioner for allowing us to preview that bill over the weekend. I've looked at a lot of reading bills from a lot of different places over the years, and this is a very well thought out piece of legislation that tracks some of the models that have been very, very successful across the country. And I'm happy to see Tim and Posey and Lisa, you know, mentioning that right off the bat, and it's going to be an important part of moving the outcomes for kids forward in the state. Also, a big shout out to the governor and Senator Begich, and again, as the commissioner mentioned, Senator Hughes, Representative Ledoux, and Representative Drummond, and all the other players behind the scenes that have been working so hard for so many years to put something together. You know, recognizing the crisis in early childhood literacy that we have going on in Alaska, I think this is going to really move things forward. A couple of the comments and observations that I had, it looks like the retention piece of this piece of legislation is probably going to be the hot topic, and that's unfortunate because there's about a dozen other steps in between before that last resort of retention is implemented in order to incentivize us to improve our outcomes. It's not the most important piece of the legislation, but it is the piece that, based upon the success that other states have had in improving their outcomes, you know, including Florida and Mississippi and Indiana, Ohio, all the other places that have implemented very similar legislation, that without the retention piece, frequently you get widespread noncompliance. And as Posey referred to a little bit in Mississippi, they had a little bit of that going on until the retention piece was introduced. Again, there's a lot of good recent research out that indicates that retention isn't always bad. And in the particularly in the case of reading, it's so important to get kids when they're in that maximum neuroplasticity window to be strong readers by the time about 9 or 10 before their brains become a little bit more hardwired. So, as a general rule, I'm not a big fan of retention with this exception. We've got to get that hit that window and make sure our kids are reading at the appropriate level and they can keep up with their peers. There's a lot of the objective is to implement the program and minimize the retentions, but if we don't have the retention piece in there, that history has shown us that other states that have tried this, the success rates are not quite as good. The bill is unique in a lot of good ways. And again, my cap to the Department of Education and the folks that worked collaboratively to put this together, because I think it's a very, very good piece of legislation, and it's going to serve us really well to improve the outcomes for the kids in the state of Alaska. So I just wanted to bring that up. I think we're going to have some robust conversations on this bill, and whatever we get down the line, I think it will be a significant improvement to moving towards that number one goal of the Alaska Education Challenge.
Great. Thank you, Member Griffin. Member Hamilton.
Just a short comment on the budget, and knowing that based on a lot of the conversations over last year, this year's budget I think is sound. Look moving forward for what we could definitely work with. I think that there's obviously some changes and some movement that'll happen. But overall, I'm just grateful that there wasn't further reductions this coming year.
Okay, Member Kowalski. Member Kowalski, are you muted? Okay, we'll move on to Member Scott.
Thank you. Just a quick comment, something that I've come to appreciate about serving on the State Board of Education is being able to hear the first reactions to, you know, last year the governor's proposed budget and then this year the Alaska Reads Act from the public, and that we heard from Tim, Lisa, and Posey, and I appreciate them providing us with some framework from which, you know, we can think about the bill to its introduction. And, you know, the start of legislative session for me has always been exciting. I think of, you know, these pre-file summaries and these bills as, you know, opportunities and some hope for some things and possibilities. So I look forward to the work over the legislative session and engaging with the legislative branch. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Member Stockhausen.
Good morning. I can't tell you how excited I am about the Alaska Reads Act. I'm just filled with best practice in reading instruction. It's going to help us to focus resources and staff development in all of our efforts. The most important task we can do as a state, as a school district, is to make sure kids can read, and this is the right thing for kids. So thank you so much to everyone for, I'm sure, countless hours that you put into it. I'm excited about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Member Stockhausen. Member Van Diest.
I just want to say thank you to Aaron for the information about all of the bills, and I would definitely be interested in receiving the information about the education committees from the House and the Senate and when they're meeting, and it's helpful for me to keep up with that and give you guys support, even if it's through long distance. I'm also really happy that two of the bills are connected to our Alaska Education Challenge, and I think that that speaks volumes for the work that the Department of Education has done and will continue to do, and I'm very excited about that. I want to say a shout-out to Bernie Thornton and welcome to the Department of Education. I've not had a chance to meet her, and hopefully I will get that chance, although this could be my last official meeting with the State Board of Education. I am in the reappointment process. I had a great interview with Gina and have submitted my application, but if this is my last meeting, I'm happy to have worked with all of you and wish you the best.
Great. Thank you, Member Van Diest. I'm going to just, Member Kowalski got cut off on one phone, so she's calling back in on her cell phone. So I'm going to just hold off and let her get back in, hopefully here in a minute. Oh, she's on. Member Kowalski. Are you on?
Chair Fields, this is... Chair Fields, this is Michael. So we'll give her a minute to get connected. While we're waiting, I'll just I failed to mention in my report that coming up, about 1,000 educators will be gathering in Anchorage for the RTI conference, and it happens each year. And traditionally, Dr. Parody and the organization have been good to sync that with priorities that the State Board and the Department are doing. It's one of the best received conferences each year. And so this year it's coming up, I think, this weekend. And I think there's about 1,000 people already signed up. And the districts receiving grants through the reading grant will be meeting immediately after the conference as part of that whole gathering up there. So just wanted to point that out to the board and thank all those that are working to organize it and get it together, ASDN and the department, and look forward to hearing all the good things that come from it. So now you can check and see if she's on.
Okay, thanks. I think they may have muted her at that end because she said, can you not hear me? So I don't know if Linda can get a hold of them or something, see if she can get unmuted or not.
Linda's working on it right now.
Okay. Okay, and I'll just make a few comments. This session, obviously, the budget's going to be a big deal, but, yeah, I both the Tribal Compacting Bill and the Alaska Reads Act bill are obviously very exciting. So hopefully they'll get plenty of time around the budget, and we can move both of those forward to some extent. Obviously, the Tribal Compacting one is early on, so there'll probably be quite a few changes. It sounds like pretty much the committee members have already reviewed that bill that are in the Tribal Compacting Committee, so I just obviously encourage you guys to make sure that you've got your comments and suggestions ready, and obviously as an individual person you can give comments, but I'll talk with the commissioner about maybe a way that the committee can provide comment as the committee for that bill as well. Sandy, are you on yet?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear
you. Can you hear me? Okay,
yep.
All right, good. Thank you. I'm sorry I missed the last part of Bob Griffin's comments, and then everyone else was up until just a few minutes ago. I would have liked to have heard what people contributed. But, Chair Fields, I appreciate that you're going to be intentional in your conversations with our committee leadership in the legislature about our board's priorities. I'm really looking forward to your work in that area, especially on these two bills that you just mentioned. I wanted to follow up with Member Griffin's comments about the Alaska Reads Act and just give a little bit of my perspective on one of his comments. I, too, am not a fan of retention of students, but I do understand that there is a time and a place for a particular student where that might be the best pathway for learning. And I would really caution our work in the Alaska Reads Act that we would use retention as a way to hold systems accountable. I know that in Mississippi it may have worked to bring retention on the table to kind of build that consistency across the system. I would hope that we can come up with ways that build that accountability across our systems without using retention as kind of the stick, because that to me wouldn't be a student-focused strategy. But I am excited about the Alaska Reads Act efforts to the way that bill reads, that it will provide consistency across systems in school districts that would help support student learning and student literacy. So I see that it meets not only our shared commitments in the Alaska Education Challenge, but also it focuses in on some of the recommendations in the challenge document too. So pretty excited about that. And that was it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And I made some my comments on that already, and just thank you to the department and Member Van Deese. Hopefully you'll be reappointed, but if not, thank you for your service, and it's been a joy getting to know you, and like I say, hopefully this won't be your last meeting, and we'll see you in March. But if not, I'm sure we'll see you around. Like people say, Alaska's a big state, but it's pretty small in the way of people and relationships. So thank you for your service, and with that, without objection, we are adjourned at 10:18. Everybody have a great day.
Bye.
Your host is exiting the conference.